Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting host having a ball. Trope was all in Washington pool, with guests and spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Haunts and hearts, hearts and hearts, crackle and hand and fill to the top. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, this is your podcast and it's called Haunts and Hearts.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. You know we cover all things paranormal while enjoying the scientific brilliance of delicious craft beer from all over the country, thanks to our sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto here at Jay Quasto. And moving on to a woman who has a strange beverage in her hand, and she's advertising it ahead of time, and I can't wait to see what it is. She is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal, and she has her one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, that will be available to the world at some point in the near future. She's Anastasia Washington.
Well, hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, you know. I want to drink
already, you already opened yours? You already opened yours, so let me just...
Well, I didn't...
Yeah. There it is. Ashley Trobe may be joining us during the episode. We're not quite sure, but we do have a very special guest. He is a brilliantly funny human being. And not only does he have his own short film, Cookie, getting in festivals all over the globe, make sure you check out his YouTube show, On Your Mark, which I may have made an appearance on in the past. He's got slew of TV and film credits. But he has a slew of TV and film credits. And speaking of slew... The Sluog is at the center of his new found footage horror film, The Haunting of Grady Farm, now available for renting or purchase, so make it happen. Follow him at Shane Hartline. He is the Shane Hartline. Hello, buddy.
Man, if WWE taught you anything, it was how to give somebody a grand entrance.
You know I could do that shit beforehand, though. But yes, thank you very much. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too, man. Yeah, it's been a while since, I mean, we text occasionally and message each other, but it's good to see your face. It has been quite a long time since we've talked space. I think the last time we spoke was in New York about a year ago for WrestleMania, or a little over a year ago at this point, but
over a year and a half ago, it was rainy and
Yeah, man, but good to see you. I'm excited for this podcast. It's when I heard about this like concept, I was super into it. I mean, paranormal stuff is, I think a lot of people, have an interest in it, but I definitely did from a very young age. Like I always find too, anytime I start wanting to write a script or something, it's like my first go-to is either sci-fi or horror. Like, it's like, those are my like first two impulses of what to write a script. But yeah, this is exciting. I'm excited to be here.
Yay.
We're going to get to your horror film, which I absolutely loved. I cannot wait to talk about this. But first things first, we always talk about what we're drinking. So Anastasia, without further ado, please let us know.
This is the first time I'm trying this beer.
Yeah.
I'm trying Urban Artifact Christmas Pickle Dill Pickle Christmas Goose, which is 4.3% alcohol by volume. And my face does this after drinking it.
Go, 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 go. Oh, it's pickle juice.
Yeah.
And how does it? Are you
digging it? A whole lot of pickle.
Yeah. Oh, now you're having it. Okay. You're having a few twitches.
It gives you a little twitch.
Uh huh.
But it's Christmas pickle because of that like Christmas tradition where, I don't have that tradition, but where you hide a pickle on your tree.
Oh.
She was just, she told before, we were talking about this and I have never heard about this tradition.
Yeah. I don't know where it's from, but I have a couple friends that do it. They put a pickle ornament on their tree. And if you find it, it's good luck.
That's so interesting.
I mean,
is it hard to find a pickle?
Because it's green and the tree is green. I mean, my tree is not green, but if your tree was green, it would be hard to find.
I want to pull that quote of Johnny saying, is it hard to find a pickle?
I mean, you know, that's my honest. How big of a pickle is it? Take that one too.
That's a good point. That's a good question.
It's not like, the size of the pickle. It's where it is on the tree.
Yeah, it's the amount of sodium. That's what matters.
Oh, okay. Damn, that too.
That's so deep.
That's yeah. But yeah, I was expecting it to be kind of like a pickleback. Not Nickelback, pickleback. But it does taste more like Nickelback. Just kidding.
Look at this. Because I know what they taste like.
No, it tastes like a cucumber beer with like a little, what's that in the background? Like a, what happened there?
I can picture it. For sure.
A little bit of a tickle at the end.
A tickle from the pickle.
Do you think you'll be a return customer?
I don't think so.
Okay. Noted.
Every time it makes me laugh. Shane, what are you beveraging on?
Well, I'm drinking a beer vicariously through this LaCroix right now because I have to be up super early, so I didn't want to start drinking. But I'm, you know, it's not a beer necessarily, but I have been on a truly lemonade kick lately. They're just, man, for as far as seltzers, like, or hard seltzers, they are easy to drink. Like, they are easy to drink, and I like them. And that's what I'm vicariously drinking through this right now.
They're delicious. So, okay. Some of the flavors of the lemonade, though, I could do without, but...
Yeah, it comes in that multi-pack, and you know, I like every one of them except mango. Mango is a bit too much for me, but the others are pretty good. So I recommend. I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
I think I gave away the passion fruit one. Gotcha. I think I was like, "This seems like for you, present."
I got to be honest. I don't know what this brand is. Truly,
I'll send you a picture. I'll send you a picture,
please. And of a
super
pickle.
Tasty. And a
pickle. Keegan Michael Key is a spokesperson. How do you not know?
Yeah, dude.
You call yourself a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm drinking from the third window. It's called the 406 East Hazy. It's a double IPA, clocking in at 8.7%. And I love Third Window. They're from Santa Barbara, California. And they are located pretty much less than a mile from where my brother lives. So I can walk there and then stumble home. And they're amazing. So Third Window, I love it. Yeah.
All right.
And it's another IPA.
That's right. And you don't like it, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
But you know what you do like is Tavor.
I do like Tavor. I do. I like codes like Haunts 10 that you can use.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If you want to get a $10 discount, download Tavor. Start building your crate of delicious beer. Use the code Haunts10. You'll get $10 off your first crate. All thanks to your squad here at Haunts and Hops. And we love Tavor. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Xmas, Pickle.
And of course, if you have a haunted story, a paranormal experience, give us a call, 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. And just leave us your story. Leave us whatever you want to talk to us about, and we will play it on the show. We love that stuff.
Call us, because we're lonely. Mm-hmm. Oh, also talk about ghosts and aliens and stuff.
All that shit. With that said, Supernatural Scoop time.
I miss Ashley's burping.
I know. Ashley burped perfectly last week. Damn it. So, Anastasia, you sent this article that I thought was very interesting. Can dogs see ghosts? Let's get into it.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Dogs can do a lot of things that humans can't do, as we know.
Like lick their butts.
Well, there's some humans that probably could.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the circus is now closed, but they were there.
Okay.
Yeah. Dogs can sense the presence of impending weather and even the presence of cancer, which is tremendous. They're better at sensing colors and clarity than humans. They can see movement better than us, especially in low light situations. Sense of smell. There's a reason dogs are always sniffing everything. 10,000 to 100 times to 100,000 times more sensitive than a human sense of smell. And dogs can also hear twice as many frequencies as humans.
My dog predict, not this one, but he'd like, you can see my dog sitting on the floor. You're welcome, you guys. My dog predicted the Northridge earthquake.
What?
Wow. Yeah. I woke up and there's like a 100-pound Rottweiler on me. And I was like, get off. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to push. Then the earthquake hit. A shelf fell. And she pulled me out.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. No.
But it was like so annoying. Because I was like, it was 94. So I was pretty young. Yeah. And this 100-pound dog was like on me. And I was like, oh my God, get off. Like, you wow. know, but so they know things. They know things. I always try to listen.
Whoa. So she pulled you out of harm's way.
Yeah. I had all these shelves that were really smart for us to have in California. And it was, yeah, I was basically on the other side of the shelf. So she pulled me out of them. I got my ankle hurt a little bit, but other than that, she pulled me.
Oh man, what a good dog.
I know, she's a good dog.
So Shayna, what are your thoughts on this?
It's so funny you bring this up because I've had very, very few paranormal experiences in my life, but the one that I wanted to talk about today. So I was like 13. I was coming into my bedroom from my bathroom and I looked at the entryway of my bedroom door and my dog was looking up at something.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden my door to my bedroom just slammed shut. Yeah. And I'm not talking like, you know, ACs can sometimes shut a door. This was like fully open. Whoop-ah! Like, and it was like moments after the dog was like looking up at something. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like if like all that you're saying about like the heightened senses and everything like that, I imagine they're seeing also frequencies and things that we don't see.
Yes.
You know,
good point. Yeah.
So man, like, I don't know. Like I believe it 100%.
So in that situation, when you were 13, there was nothing that could have slammed the door shut in that manner.
Nothing, what? Nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it was the next night that I physically, for the only time in my life, saw an entity. Like I saw, and it was all like that. It was just, I feel like it was connected. You know what I mean? It's like it happened too close, similar location. But then never in my life have I had any that I can remember situations. There was one, I think one time, I mean, I can get to this as a side story, but in like Savannah, Georgia, I feel like is like a hotbed for almost stuff. So
it's funny you say that. Savannah is known as one of the most haunted cities in the entire country, really.
For sure. And so there was like we would visit Savannah as like a Christmas tradition every couple of years when I was younger. And I kind of have a memory of like waking up in the middle of the night and thinking I saw something, but that could easily be a dream. It's not, you know, it's not a concrete thing, but this was something, I was very much awake.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And going back to that entity, what do you remember feeling or seeing?
Yeah. So I was sitting at my computer. I was playing like Diablo or something at the time. Like, you know,
how old were you?
I was 13.
Got it.
So where my computer table was, you'd be able to look right out of that door that slammed shut, and clear as day out of nowhere. It was pretty late at night. This tall, skinny man that what? I had never seen before walked by my door, looked in, kept walking. And I like freaked the hell out and like slammed the door shut, went to sleep. But yeah, that was, I, you know, unless my mind was playing tricks on me, but I'm pretty sure I saw what I can still picture in my head.
And was this out of the corner of your eye or were you facing the door?
It was, so I was looking at the computer and then it was like, it caught my eye and I, you know, I glanced over and looked at it and he looked at me and he kept walking. Yeah, dude.
Oh, there was eye contact.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it was creepy. It was for sure creepy.
You saw Slender Man.
It may be
with a thing,
something like that, man. Like, but it was the night after the door thing, you know? Yeah. So it was all like this period of time or, you know, but I don't know.
And do you recall the place you were staying?
It was my parents' house. It was in my bedroom.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. It was creepy, but like, I never experienced anything like that since. never saw that entity ever again. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, what are ghosts? Is it just a stuck energy? Is it, you know, something that, you know, needed to be seen for some reason? You know, I believe obviously there is a lot more to entities and spirits and energies than we can probably or will ever process. But whatever he needed, I think he did, you know, cause I never experienced any creepy anything after. And I was for sure on high alert after that as a teenage kid, you know?
Jesus. And do you know how old your parents' house was or if there's any kind of history behind it?
It was fairly, it was made in like the 80s. So it wasn't like a really old house. Yeah. And that's what I thought too, is like, it was maybe like, you know, some history, but there was only one family that lived in it before us and nobody passed away. So that was also very interesting of who is this guy? What is his reason for being in this location? But you know,
but you were like 13 too. So you were angsty as hell. that's a time for like harbingers and poltergeists. Love them though.
Yeah.
Anastasia, what do you think? I mean, if, you know, right away I'm thinking, okay, maybe it was a guy who lived in the house. Clearly it doesn't appear to be. So could it be almost like we're talking like not a doppelganger, but like,
yeah,
some kind of manifestation from.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that sounds really probable, but also just because that house wasn't there doesn't mean something else wasn't there before it, right?
100%. Well, there was also, it's so funny you say that. I've never connected these dots until this moment, but there was a utility, not a train station, but like a utility train stop that used to be behind the house.
Oh,
snap. You know, so maybe something there. I don't know. It's interesting.
Do you recall what the guy was wearing at all? Probably not, but
not really. I just, you know, it was like the cliche ghost type of paler skin. It was about a walk about this. He wasn't sprinting. He wasn't walking slow. It was just like a walk. And I glance over and it was just like, you know, so it was, I didn't get a chance to like fully process it past the height. All I remember is he was a pretty tall dude, which was.
Yeah. Oh, how great would it have been if he would have just peeked in and looked at you in the eye and said, all aboard.
No, you good?
Yeah.
All right. See you later.
The train's taking off.
Where is your ticket? Where is your ticket? Get off the train.
If you don't have a nickel, you're not getting on this train.
Like, I have a nickel.
I got you. I'm good.
I know you mentioned you have a specific theory about UFOs. Before we get to that, did you see the news that came out last week about the former head of Israeli defense who basically said there is a galactic federation, but they just don't think humans are ready?
I love it. I believe every second of it. And I think that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. What if we have reacted like we have to this pandemic, how could we possibly be ready for other life forms to come here, cohabitate, like, you know, live amongst us without us just killing them or, you know, capturing them for our, you know, scientific purposes? Like, they obviously know we're not ready as humans.
Or even like I was watching The Cult of Cults, which is a documentary about Heaven's Gate. I feel like if people came out as aliens, I think we'd have a lot of those cults popping up and doing stuff similar to that.
Sidebar. We're talking about the Heaven's Gate that did the mass suicide in San Diego in the 90s. Oh, yeah. There was an amazing podcast. You got to tell me how to get this document. I need to see it.
It's really good. I mean, and also one of the things about Heaven's Gate that I always found interesting is that Nichelle Nichols' brother is one of the ones, Nichelle Nichols, who is Uhura from the Star Trek original series. Her brother was in the cult and ended his life with a cult. And I have never seen her speak about it. And in the documentary, she spoke about his choice to kill himself. And I was just like, I've never seen that. And she was kind of like, He was a smart adult. And if this was what he chose and what he believed in, then I support him. And I was like, whoa, you know, I mean, she said it a little bit more elegantly than I did, but I was like,
you're the second person that's suggested to check out that documentary. So I got to look into it.
It's a good documentary. I mean, it is, you know, one of my friends was like, oh, you know, I started watching it and then it was kind of just really slow and boring. And I was like, well, cults are.
Yeah.
I mean,
cults are a slow burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
In so many ways.
Right. And one that started in 1975 and ended in 1994. You have some time.
And but, for those listening who don't know Heaven's Gate, it was a cult that ended in the 90s and they believed that they were going home because there were aliens ready to take them. And that's what the they were convinced.
And that they themselves were slowly morphing into aliens. Like if you start seeing the part, you know, they start cutting their hair shorter. They start like, you know, trying to become more evolved as an alien. Like it is true. They all have like these short haircuts. When I was younger, they had this museum called Museum of Death. And they actually had like their whole, they had one of the setups of the Heaven's Gate cult area. And so they had like the bunk and everything that they wore because they wore all the same stuff. And I was just... Yeah. I don't want to judge, but
I will say they did go in comfort. They wore matching jumpsuits. And if there's any way to go,
it did look comfortable.
And Nikes, I think it was Nike. I'm not sponsored.
They're the first Nike totally sponsored that. This is going to be a lasting spot. Like our money is going to like everything that's ever mentioned. Like we're talking about it now. Still talking, plugging Nike. You know, what a genius marketing idea.
I mean, look, Nike's catchphrase is just do it. So there is there.
Just do it. Dot, dot, dot. Kill yourself and go back.
And that's what they did. And the Galactic Federation. Yeah. The three of us talked about it last week, Shane. We completely agree. We've shown nothing to me. Let's say there's different species of aliens out there who obviously are further along than us. If Roswell has shown us anything, let's say Roswell happened, let's say Roswell is true. If you read up on it, the materials they have are further along than we are right now, 70 years later. So we know they're more advanced than us. Yeah, they might be a couple of feet shorter. Maybe they can't beat us in a sprint. But other than that, they
can disintegrate us by looking at us.
Yeah, and they can teleport. So they don't need to run.
Yeah. I do love the fact this guy came out and spoke about it, but now I just wonder, and he's 87, and his quote was, he was like, hey, no one's going to do anything to me. I'm 87. 5 years ago, maybe I'd be hospitalized. Now, there's different ways of thinking. And he's like, I'm just going to say it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we're going to get to the movie, but first, this is kind of a paranormal, but we got to talk about the Zodiac code getting cracked.
Anastasia. Yeah.
I want to talk about my theory though too. Don't forget.
Like theory. Yeah.
This is alien talks.
Go theory, and then we'll go to the Zodiac.
Do it.
Heck yeah. I'm pumped. Okay. So I've had this like theory about what UFOs are and what aliens are. It's just like it's not what I fully believe. It's just like a little like possibility about aliens and stuff. So we know there's been one popular potential UFO crash, Roswell, but there's not been really any others, you know, not many UFO landings. If anything, UFOs mainly are just kind of spectating and probably, you know, just checking things out. So who's to say that UFOs and what is inside are just not evolved humans from thousands of years in the future and they're just tourists? Like, what if there's a whole tourism industry where humans can travel to the past, but you cannot land, you can spectate from above. What if the aliens even that were captured in Roswell are just evolved humans?
Damn.
I mean, you've written the script, right?
No, I should though. Like, trademark, WGA, copywritten. I verbally am saying all of this so nobody can steal it.
They're looking down and said, well, that was when the KFC and the Taco Bells were combined, honey.
Good times. And then it all went downhill after that.
Yeah. Remember the chicken sandwich race? It did not matter.
But I mean, right? Like, isn't that like an interesting way to look at that?
Well, sure. I mean, they say we're not far, supposedly, from time travel right now. So if in the future that's a distinct possibility, then I'm not smart enough to deny any possibility. That's the way I look at life.
And it, you know, it might not be all UFOs, but maybe some of the things that people have seen are, like I said, just like tourists from the future.
Yeah.
I don't really want to time travel. I just want to let that know. No, I'm a woman of color. Like, why would I want to go anywhere but here? Maybe in the future.
Future.
But I don't know what's happening. Maybe I don't want to go in the future. Maybe I just want to stay right here. Like, maybe just like before the pandemic, just keep going before the pandemic, before the pandemic, before Trump, over and over and over again. Yeah.
That was a good chunk of time.
Yeah, I'll just stay there.
You've heard that, like, the thought process though about time travel of, like, if we were to go back in time and if we like coughed or sneezed on somebody, it would wipe out a population. That whole thing like blows my mind. That's trippy.
Because we're gross. Humans are gross, and we're just a whole bunch of like germs and stuff all over the world. And if we went back in time, they had different germs, and we would get those germs and we would die, and then they would get our new germs and they would die.
Which furthers my point is, if like there is a tourism time travel in the future, you can't get out of the UFO. You just can't.
That's true. And maybe somebody got out and that's how we got COVID.
Son of a bitch. Fuck, that's a really good idea. I mean, it's a terrible idea, but it's actually a really good idea.
Do it. Write that shit right now. We'll wait.
It's already being written.
Yeah. He's got his assistant just off to his left, not in camera view. Yeah.
You got it? Cool.
So another thing that came out this week, and Anastasia, you being fascinated with serial killers, you have to be pumped that the Zodiac code got cracked.
Was so freaked out. Yeah, I was just like,
wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reddit cracked the code for the Zodiac. And on Reddit, I don't know if this is like true or not, but Reddit said they solved the case and they're just actually, they gave all the information over and now they're just informing families and victims and blah blah blah, and they will make an announcement after everyone's notified.
No
but way. I don't know if that's true, but that's what the Reddit community, and that's the community that solved it.
Well, what we do know that's a fact, Shane, is that 51 years after he sent the 340 character cipher to the San Francisco Chronicle, the FBI has confirmed this. Three different code breakers all work together. There's a guy from the U.S., a guy from Belgium, and a guy from Australia. I'll let you decide who's who when you hear their names. There is David Aranchak, Jarl von Eke.
American.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sam Blyke. They worked together, and they pulled it off. David actually put out a YouTube video that's at about 1.5 million views now, 13-minute clip, where he explains kind of how they did it, and it will blow your mind.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
I'll send it to you. It's incredible.
I just want to date all three of them.
Well, I mean, they're around. They're available. They're done with cracking that code.
I mean, my true crime, you know, sense is tingling, and it just does it for me. Call me. I have a code you can crack.
I got a code.
What's the password? 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the same password I have in my luggage.
Anyway. Oh, good to know, Johnny.
You shouldn't have put that out there.
It's like the time I put my password on at Comic-Con. I unlocked my computer on the Comic-Con.
Oh, that's big screen. So funny.
And I was like, ooh.
Oh, boy.
So there are still two more codes yet to be decoded, Anastasia, and they're saying, you know, one they believe might have the killer's name. Of course, he's claimed to have killed 37 people, but factually, we only know of 7. But it's 51 years later. I mean, I don't know. Do you think, as someone who studies serial killers, will they ever figure it out?
Yeah. People are, like, this day and age, people should be scared because there is so much technology now that nobody can get away with anything. They're just going to knock on your door. I'm just telling you.
Like, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be those people from that Don't Fuck With Cats documentary. Those people are going to be the ones
crack
the case.
Yeah, that's a documentary for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
It's a hard one to get through.
I got through it, But I will say that people told me it's not that bad. They only show it once and they show it multiple times and they show so much. It's like, it's hard, but look at those people. They're just true crime enthusiasts that want to solve these different things. And they catch this guy like nobody's business. They're going to catch people. And DNA now, like with everybody doing these DNA tests and stuff like that, your mama and your daddy are going to jail. They're just going to knock on your mama and daddy's door. And they're going to be like, hey, remember 1941? Oh, you're going to jail. Mm-hmm.
I would also say don't watch that documentary on a plane like I did.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't watch any horror movies on planes.
I wish I would have known not to watch Haunting of Bly Manor on a plane just last week. Oh, yeah. Boy, I startled a few people around me.
Yeah, I'm always, because I love horror movies and I love gory, like bad, just gory shit. And so I'm always on the plane going like this and there's like a kid next to me or something. I'm like, like make a dome because I still want to watch it.
Speaking of horror you can watch, we're going to talk about Haunting of Grady Farm. Because Shane, I remember when you went to shoot this. I want to say, was it 2016?
January 2016. Mm-hmm.
So I remember you telling me about this. And at the time, the title of the film was going to be called The Sluog. And I know you're from Florida and you were like, yeah, there's actually this kind of this myth about this. I don't even know what you call it. Not a creature.
Celtic creature.
Yeah. So tell us about the movie and then kind of get into how you came up with the idea, because it's based in an actual tale, if you will.
Yeah. So in Celtic folklore, this creature called the Slua, he's like their boogeyman. It's like the story that parents over there tell their kids, you know, to keep them, you know, behaving sort of thing. So, but it was never been represented in film or television. So like when we, you know, in the core of the beginning, we were just like, hey, we've got this land, we've got this opportunity to make a scary movie. What's it going to be about? And one of the producers, Malia, she started doing research and then she found this creature and it hasn't had any representation in film or anything. So it was like, okay, that's a great opportunity to be the first ones to introduce this creature and the folklore and everything. So that kind of was the beginning. It wasn't anything deeper. It wasn't, you know, anything more than that. It was just that there was an opportunity to be the first to introduce the creature.
And so you were able to kind of, in the story, base it around a certain farm in Florida that was really off the beaten path. And
yeah, and a lot of people probably listening are like, well, why is it take place in Florida? Well, we made that make sense. And long story short, it's like this, you know, creature, this entity attached itself to this family that is migrated, the right word. I apologize if that's not. But, they, you know, over the years, you know, they made their way to Florida. And, you know, so the rest of the family that owned this land is like, that's where the creature followed them, basically. So the movie is about a documentary film crew that is they have a TV show where every episode they're documenting haunted locations. And this episode takes them to this haunted farm. And the host of the show has friends that live sort of close to the locations. They're like, hey, let's all go camping this weekend while I shoot this thing. And that's the recipe for a good horror film.
There are so many things I loved about it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm because I remember when you went to film it and it was a pure passion project. I watched the film and I know half of the actors because they're friends with you and we've all worked together on things, you know what I mean? And you went down there and God, I don't know how you pulled it off, but it is obviously, you know, we have all seen Blair Witch and that was kind of the starting point of found footage horror films, if you will, about 20 years ago. But God, this is so well put together.
Oh man, thank you.
And just like the quick little, I don't want to give anything away, but my God, like there's that one point in the film that just really jumped out at me was the brief visual of the family, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn. That second and a half.
Oh, cool.
Bro, come on.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, it was very much a passion project. And we shot this movie for about $15,000. You know, it's a lot of money obviously, it but it's also for making a feature not. No. And it made the experience very difficult. And, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. You know, we, in ways, you know, we hadn't tackled anything like this, you know, so we were each having to wear multiple hats. And I didn't know until like day one that I was going to also be the AD. And, you know, so it's just like, you just have to, when you're making something like a feature for such a small budget, you just got to go into it knowing that the experience is going to be different. It's going to be a lot more difficult. And that's also why it took so long to finish, is because we raised enough to just shoot it. And then, oh, hey, we got to finish this thing, which we didn't want to skimp on. We didn't want to sacrifice, you know, our vision. So it took years because we'd raise a little bit of money. We'd finish visual effects, raise a little bit of money. We'd finish sound. And then, you know, the process of working remotely with different people around the country, it's, you know, 1 month turns into a year very quickly. But yeah, about a year ago, we finished it, which is a very surreal moment. Finishing anything that like, you know, having a vision and then seeing it finished is just a very trippy moment. And I just quickly began hustling it and found a company that would that was interested in distributing it. And we signed with them, and now it's available, which is still very weird and exciting, and feels like sending your kid off to college and hoping people are nice to them, you know,
and hoping the kid doesn't get caught by the SLUA.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
in this case, you're hoping they do.
Right.
Right.
Because yeah, sort of. Yes. Yeah.
Sequel, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be super cool to make a sequel for this. And, you know, I mean, that's it's been neat. Like, the response has been really cool. One of my more favorite reviews that we got, I forget what website, what did they say? They said it's as good as the Blair Witch, but better acting. So I was like, that's cool. Like, I like that. Like, but yeah, I mean, we made like an emphasis of like making it as grounded as it possibly could be. And, you know, explaining why everything was being filmed as much as it was. Cause if anything I can't stand is like when I see a found footage movie specifically, and it's just like, you have all these questions of like, which are hard to answer, questions of like, one, why are they filming so much? Nobody films that much. Mm-hmm. Two, why are they, nobody talks this way. It's understandable why some scripts and found footage movies have to be the way they are, because you have to get so much plot in, you know, in this like natural conversational kind of way, that it's just, sometimes it can feel very crunchy. And I think we, you know, the ways that we were able to fit in the lore with certain characters and ground the film as to why was it being filmed, why was as much being filmed as it was, and why are the cameras so nice? I think we, like, you know, we made an emphasis on those things, and I think people have been responding to it. So,
well, having the paranormal show as the base of why they were going there was brilliant, because of course, yeah, you know, you watch Ghost Adventures, you watch Ghost Hunters, they have good equipment, they have a small crew,
and they're constantly filming because they have to.
Yeah,
you know.
And, you know, they push buttons and they're fearless and they're not afraid to go to any areas. And, you know, if a local says, don't go there, they're like, ha, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. And I will say, too, to follow up your point about, you know, found footage, what I love about a number of things I love. Number one, it's not long. So it's a quick watch, mm-hmm. and it moves fast. There's no wasted time in this film at all, which I really dug. And also, found footage films, you know, horror, we all know, is the easiest genre to sell because the fans are the most passionate in horror. They're open to anything. And a lot of found footage horror films, a lot of horror films in general, are sloppy just because they can be, you know. And Grady Farm, you guys were really meticulous from start to finish. It's such a fun ride. And I'm a jumpy kind of guy. And so, you know, I peed a little. And so
good.
But yeah, it's so well done, and like the details that went into it, even like the security cam footage, you know, on the Grady Farm, because it happens to be there, because you say, oh, I'm watching them. I go, oh yeah, of course, because after whatever happened, they go in and they find all the possible cameras. So here we go. Mm-hmm. It's just all that stuff. It just really adds up. If you want to enjoy a film and support a hell of a team. Couldn't recommend it higher. It was
awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Of course. And where can people find it?
Yeah, I mean, it's available on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, Xbox, but the distribution company did tell us that, you know, as the producers and creators, we get the most kickback on Amazon. So if people have a choice, you know, I know that some people have opinions on Amazon. I kind of share the same opinions, but if you do have a choice of consuming, you know, films, then choose Amazon.
Yep. And obviously the better it does, the longer run it'll have, and who knows, it may end up on, other platforms.
Yeah, yeah. And I know in a few months there's going to be some kind of physical release, and there the company is doing some big rollout of as far as physical release and then other on-demand platforms. But this is the way to consume it right now. So, yeah.
Everybody watch it for Christmas.
Yeah, it's a perfect, perfect Christmas movie.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then Johnny.
It's about family, right?
Yeah, it's about family, it's about love and, you know, death and murder and, you know, all that too.
That reminds me of Christmas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What people need to do is watch Die Hard and then watch
Haunting. Die Hard 2.
Why?
No reason.
Are you in it as a kid or something?
What?
Maybe. Oh, son of a, are you kidding me? You're fucking in Die Hard 2. Are you seriously in Die Hard 2?
What? Yeah. Oh, how cool.
What are you doing in Die Hard 2?
Well, there's a choir singing, and then the whole place blows up. I am that choir singing.
Wow. How
Wait,
cool.
Do you die
I
hard?
Explode. I die hard.
Johnny.
At Christmas.
Johnny, you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
I hardly die.
Wow. Okay. We learn about a new movie you've been in every single week.
And that's amazing.
Jesus.
It is the season for residuals. Yay.
Well, you're not in Haunting of Grady Farm, but everyone should buy it. Mm-hmm. And watch the film. Well, Shane, tell everyone where they can find you specifically. Because, oh, by the way, congratulations. I feel like you and I may have joined TikTok around. We both joined during the pandemic, did we not?
Yeah, I joined last like Christmas, so it was a little before. Mm-hmm.
Well, dude, you just cracked what 200,000, and you're one of the people I love because you actually put out funny things, not just like random dumb shit. The stuff you do, whether it's you and your girlfriend, or you and other people, or baby bodyguards, it's actually legitimately funny. And I'm like, finally, someone doing funny shit that actually gets a following.
Oh, baby man. Bodyguards.
Mm-hmm. We go out in public, and I bodyguard a baby as they just do whatever they want. It's pretty fun. Yeah. But thanks, dude. I appreciate it. TikTok it's been very weird. This sudden new audience has happened within 2.5 months. So it's been really exciting, but it's been cool, man, just to have this platform. And I'm just, you know, trying to, you know, give quality content. You know, I've been making content for years, and, you know, so this is, and I've always just looked at every platform as just another stage, another place to put your content. And yeah, it's really exciting for it to connect like this. It's been really fun.
Jeff, just wait until TikTok gets a load of Mark E. Extreme. Good.
We God. Have one. We have one for Mark E. That's getting a pretty decent response. Just putting little snippets of the videos and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, if people want to like follow me, I'm Shane Hartline on every platform. Just search for me. You'll see me. And I have to, again, you know, The Haunting of Grady Farm, please check that out. And I also, Johnny, I don't know if you know this, I launched an apparel company recently called Donut Punk. Mm. Donutpunk.com. This is one of our shirts right here.
Hey now.
Yeah, so it's like a little side project, something to, you know, pay the bills when acting is, you know, not as popping, especially right now during COVID. It's a creative, fun thing, and I get to, you know, put out fun shirts and apparel and stuff. So donutpunk.com.
Who comes up with the designs and whatnot?
I work with an artist and kind of give him like my loose vision, and we just tinker until he gets it.
Loose vision is a fun phrase.
I have a lot of loose visions, Johnny, and I just need people
tinkers until he gets it.
Just need to tinker until it's not loose no more.
Yeah. You just got to tighten up that vision.
I got a lot of things in my life that are real loose, and I just got to tinker with them until they're just right.
Keep it tight.
Yeah. Keep
them tight. Yep.
Tinkering and tightening. That's what he does.
It's my motto.
Double T's. Well, Anastasia, where can people find you?
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube. If you're nasty, if you're nasty too, you should also go to TikTok. I'm Anastasia W on there. I do things like take videos of my cat. Also, 50 Shades of Mixed just announced. I will be at Solo Fest at Whitefire Theater on March 24th. It will be streamed around the world. You have no excuse. Mm-hmm. You have to watch it on your screen.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah. On Christmas Eve, think about 3 months from that exact date.
Three months from there. And then buy your ticket then.
That's right. Follow Ashley Trobe at Ashley Trobe. Of course, we're at Haunts and Hops. I'm at Jay Quasto on socials, including TikTok. I just put up old stand-up clips that I have never put out before that I don't plan on using. And sometimes they do well. Other times it's a popcorn fart. Either way, it's fun to do. And there is some news about a special coming up soon, but I don't know yet. So we'll see. But there's a couple projects. It'll be fun. Regardless, it's time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.